الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please repeat after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله So the day of judgment is a very difficult day. And on that day, people will be looking for special lights, nur, to help them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, decorate your gatherings by reciting Durood-e Pak upon me. Durood-e Pak will be light for you on the day of judgment. Now we sit in a lot of gatherings, we sit in a lot of mehfils, but we don't first contemplate whether that particular gathering, that mehfil, is going to be better for us in this world and in the hereafter. We simply sit down to enjoy ourselves. But a lot of the times, there are many sins committed in these gatherings. Indecent talk, backbiting, lying, all sorts of mockery. And these are the gatherings which lead to the fire of hell. But those gatherings, when the zikr of Allah is done, where durood of salam is sent and praise is sent to the court of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are beautiful gatherings. We recite durood-e pak in these beautiful gatherings. And that durood-e pak, in accordance with the Hadith of Barakah, will be a light for us, a beacon for us on the Day of Judgment. Salu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, depression, anxiety, anxiousness, worries, these are all weapons of the shaitan. The shaitan makes us despondent. Even though we're blessed with many, many things, and we are very privileged in the world, we seem to be living in a life of despair. Hopelessness sets in, and over trivial matters, we forget all the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. And one of the great blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal is laughter and smiling. Now, laughing moderately, smiling, is a cure for anxiety and depression. It has a strong influence on the soul and keeping the heart and mind clear. And it was a practice of the pious predecessors to smile, to laugh very lightly. And this infectious way and an effective way of bringing happiness to those around you. Islam is a very beautiful religion. It encourages us to smile, to make happy other people, to bring happiness into the lives of those around us. Unfortunately, today we don't appreciate that. Even the glorious Quran gives us subtle examples of how we should smile. You remember in the glorious Quran, in Surah An-Naml, when Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam heard what the ant was saying, the queen ant, many, many miles away. This is the amazing power that the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla, we can't hear an ant even if it's next to our ear, but the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla know what they are saying from miles away. So when Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam heard this ant, he smiled, the glorious Quran says, amused by her speech, subhanallah. What we shouldn't do though, is we shouldn't laugh at others, or we shouldn't laugh so loudly, or we shouldn't jeer others or mock others. This is not what is allowed in Islam. In Islam, the beauty is in the moderation. So on the day of judgment, one of the pleasures of paradise will actually be laughter. And the glorious Quran says, but this day, the day of resurrection, those who believe will laugh at the disbelievers. So it's one of the pleasures of Jannah. And Allah has blessed us with it here as well. But it's an art that needs to be used correctly. In the old society, especially in the Arabian Peninsula, those who had a smiling face, a smiling countenance, these people were held in high esteem. No matter what the situation, one always found a smile on their face, patience in their heart, and contentment at the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. They used to laugh very moderately, and this was a sign of a truly successful and generous personality, a noble disposition, somebody who had a clear and kind mind. In truth, the principles of Islam teach us happiness. They are based on moderation. They are based on good measure. And why shouldn't they be? Because a true believer puts his trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. Whether it's matters of belief, matters of worship, manners, conduct, dealing with other people, Islam is perfect. It does not encourage frowning, rigidity, you know, expressions of your emotions of anger and frustration. No. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the model for the entire world, the best character. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when sat with the companions, would be so relaxed and so easy that the companions would feel easy as well. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would talk to him in such a beautiful manner that even if Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the smallest of words, smallest of sentences, only a few phrases, they would cherish those phrases for the rest of their life. And yet, today, what we have is this strong emotional character, this constant frowning, angry at everybody, don't mess with me attitude. That wasn't what Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. And then those who don't practice this go to the other end of the scale. And they become playful and giddy all the time. Everything's a laugh and a joke. Everything's a matter of mocking and joking. And they never take things seriously. What Islam does is very beautiful. It doesn't like the constant frowning and the constant anger attitude. It doesn't like the constant playfulness and giddiness and childish behavior. But it likes moderation. The middle path, the beautiful path of smiling at others, making their life happy, being happy, laughing when it was required, in moderation. Because don't forget that excessive laughing takes away the nur, the light of the heart. That is not discouraged in Islam. What Islam does is teaches us the beauty of this. And the beauty of this is this. When you start to learn this, and it's an art. A lot of people are living in a life of depression. They don't smile, they don't laugh. And the anxieties have taken over their emotions, and they're constantly living on the edge, their shoulders are hurting, that everything seems a problem to them. They make their lives a misery. And if you ask them when's the last time they smiled, even though sometimes they do smile, it's not a real smile from the heart. It's actually a smile which is forced upon them. People who are always smiling, who are always meeting their challenges with a strong heart, with trusting Allah Azza wa Jalla, research finds that their lives are much more fruitful. They are productive people, whether it's in the office, at work, at home. They have a greater ability to deal with their responsibilities, to cope with calamities, to cope with difficulties, to cope with disasters. When a negative person has a problem, suddenly it's the end of the world. He screams, he shouts, he blames others. And this is the culture we live in. And he says that, why has this gone wrong? Na'uzubillah. And in that state, people utter words of kufr. Yet, the good person, the one who has his trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla, even in times of adversity, you will see them smiling. You will see them patient. You will see that they've put their trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. They have this ability to stand up to hard times. They're prepared to face difficulties. They're prepared to struggle for solutions. They are prolific workers. They benefit themselves and benefit those around them. Subhanallah. You see, we're given a choice. We live in a society, we live in a world where Allah Azza wa Jalla has put us here to test us. The Holy Quran tells us that. We're here to be tested. Now that test isn't just that we're going to get all the luxuries of life, and when we get all the luxuries of life and the money's flowing in and the nice houses are there and there is no difficulty and our children are doing well and everybody's healthy and everything's there and you are happy. The real test comes when there's a trial, when there's a tribulation, when there's a difficulty, when there's a problem, when there's a calamity. It is at that time that your trust in Allah Azza wa Jal is tested. Happy, radiant, smiling, self-confident people who put their trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is at these times that they are at their best. The old saying goes, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. These are the tough. So you go to visit these people, and when they're sick, even then, they're smiling and laughing. They put their trust in Allah. Even if they don't know where the next bread is coming from, they still know that Allah is the provider of sustenance. And they're not bothered. They're not worried. What they do is they transform the whole household. That household where you've got a few angry people, the father, the mother, the husband, the wife, if they have this attitude of always being angry and serious and frowning, it turns the whole house into a nightmare for those who live in it, especially the children. Nobody is happy, nobody is pleased with others, nobody praises others, nobody helps others, nobody loves others. Yet, in that house, where there's the zikr of Allah, the durood e paak upon His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that house where there's a madni environment, there's love and affection between the parents, between the children, between the parents and the children, and constantly they are being nice to each other, they are smiling, they are laughing. This is 1,000 times better. A little hut is 1,000 times better than a palace without love, affection, smiling, and peace and tranquility. What use is a massive palace if you don't talk to your wife, your children dislike you, there is no zikr of Allah in your house, there is no recitation of the glorious Quran. You could be in the biggest mansion in the world, but you will be unhappy. The kind of house that we're looking for is the kind of house that people dream of. This is a house filled with happiness. You cannot find peace and tranquility without the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you try to live your life outside it, you will eventually, sooner or later, definitely get yourselves into the depth and the darkness of depression. Why? Because the manual of life was the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You try to live outside this and it doesn't work. You come within this and suddenly your life becomes beautiful. Consider this. In a sense, the world is so beautiful that it's smiling. A rose is smiling. The forest is beautiful and smiling. Oceans, rivers, skies, stars, everything around you. The birds, the animals, the people, everything are brilliant. They are signs of the magnificent creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Human beings, by their very nature, are smiling creatures. They were supposed to be happy and content with what Allah Azza wa Jal had given them. But what interfered? What came in between? It was greed. It was selfishness. It was evil. I'm not happy because his status is greater than mine, therefore I'm depressed. I'm not happy because he has more money than me. I don't have this. I don't have that. People look down upon me. I should have a big mansion. And suddenly, these thoughts take over. And from a content person, the shaitan transforms us into this frowning creature that is barely recognizable. We become at odds with our environment around us. Our hearts become ruined. Why? Because all we see through our eyes and through our actions is that we've got to achieve the worldly benefits. Money becomes our goal in life. Everything evolves around money. We think that money brings happiness. There is no doubt, I'm not going to for one moment belittle it. You need money to live your life. You need to earn an halal sustenance, pure sustenance. But that is a means for you to be happy, not an end in itself. These days, our life is full of misery. Why? Because we think that everything evolves around money. Money is central to the whole existence that we have. And no matter how much we possess, we want more and more and more. Our life becomes nothing more than an exercise to earn more and more and more. And what we tell ourselves is, I'm trying to improve my happiness, my standard of living. But yet, in this very pursuit of money, we have lost everything we wanted to gain. Let me tell you this. We don't look at the beauty of life. We don't open up to anything else. what our eyes and our ears and our mind and our intellect react to is gold, silver, money, shares, stocks, properties. Suddenly, all these are important. So I'll give my ear to anything that's a money-making idea. I will cast my eyes over a document that may give me worldly benefits. But the last time I went past a luxurious garden with lots of flowers, I didn't even bother to stop and say, Subhanallah, look at what Allah Ta'ala created. I walked past the bed of roses, and it didn't mean anything to me. But on the other front, when I saw money, my eyes opened up. I walked past the flowing river. It was so beautiful. It was amazing. And yet, nothing clicked up here. But I walked past somebody who was talking about a business idea, and suddenly I was focused on it. I walked past a group of singing birds. Didn't mean anything. But I walked past a load of people who were backbiting, and I wanted to stop and listen. We have lost our way. All the world was beautiful. Beauty was within it. But today we're depressed and anxious and fearful and don't know where we're going because we've lost our focus on life. Our focus was the beautiful creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Our focus was to live life by the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Our focus was to be content and thank Allah Azza wa Jal for everything we had. Our focus was to live life for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And yet, we turn that around and we live life for the pleasure of our nafs and to please the shaitan. This is why anything that comes in and out of our pockets becomes important. We have made money a means of happiness of life. But when we get it, we don't get happy. In fact, the reverse is true. The more money we have, the least happy we are. There was a famous king, and he was stood on the balcony of his palace on a high mountain, and he was looking down, and there was a servant, a very poor man, and he was working in the fields. And he worked till Zohar time. He did wudu. He did performed his Zohar Salah, sat down, ate a few pieces of bread, and then went back to the field. Carried on working. Went home at night, slept, and the next day he did the same thing. One day the king, having watched him for some time, called him. And he said, I see you working all day. Are you happy? And he said, Alhamdulillah, I'm happy. He said, what do you earn? He said, I earn enough to feed my family. He said, are you content? He said, Alhamdulillah, I'm content. He said, do you sleep at night? He says, I sleep very comfortably. The king turned to him and said, how can that be? I have this palace. I have all the servants. I have a soft bed. I spend my days not doing much. And yet when I go to the bed, I cannot sleep. Having everything, I cannot sleep. During the day, I'm anxious, and yet you have nothing and you're happy. Why is that? And the simple answer, the scholars write, is that that person was content with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. He was happy with what Allah Azza wa Jal had given him. He wasn't willing for more. He wasn't fighting for more. Money wasn't his objective in life. His objective was the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. He hadn't sold his existence, which a lot of us have, for money. When we do that, my dear Islamic brothers and sisters, that's where the problem comes. When you chase money and sell yourself for just worldly gain, then after a short time, you'll have a short-lived pleasure from that. But after that pleasure goes, there are the depths and darknesses of depression. And getting out of it becomes very difficult. Our eyes have lost the ability to see the true beauty in the world around us, to appreciate the true creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Our souls know nothing but to search for money. Yet, this soul, this spirit, was created for great heights. Today, when it comes to spirituality, we're on the bottom rung and we're happy to stay there. But when it comes to worldly gain and money and properties, and businesses, we want to be on the top rung. We want to open all the doors of opportunity and we want to walk through them, but just for the world. Where is the prosperity of the soul going to come? A lot of people They believe that they're inconsequential. They believe that that's life. This is life. They just sat there doing nothing. They believe that they don't have any importance. They don't have any achievements. They don't have any goals. So depression becomes their destiny. Why? They're not trying to run a race. They're not trying to compete with others in good deeds. They're not trying to please Allah Azza wa Jal. They're not trying to light up their grave. They're not trying to stand proud on the day of judgment. They're not trying to enter Jannah. They're simply getting by, and that is it. So that's why, because they haven't any goals, they haven't got any sort of mindset, any future, despondency and hopelessness creeps in. Let me give you an example. Somebody who's running a 100-meter race, he gets tired, starts to slow down as he comes close to the 100 meters. But somebody who's running a 400-meter race will never start to slow down at 100 meters because he's got a long way to go. Those who are determined, they know that this is a battle with the shaitan. And it's going to end when you leave this world with iman, not with your money bags, not with your bank balance, not with your cars, not with your properties, not with your children, but with your iman intact. So although they do everything else, and I'm not belittling that, you know, it's not wrong to have money, it's not wrong to have cars, it's not wrong to have a big house, so long as it's halal. But do not put that into your mind and make that your goal in life. Your goal in life is to please Allah. When you put these material things as your goals in life, then depression and anxiety is your lot. But if you put these to one side and say, these are peripheral things, these do not matter. My real goal in life is the pleasure of my Creator. The zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, protecting my salah, reading the Quran, which is the greatest miracle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the greatest gift that Allah Azza wa Jal has given mankind. When I invest my time and effort in this, then I will seek and I will gain the true pleasure of being alive. Then you will be happy. You won't then turn towards evil. What makes us hopeless, despondent and upset is looking for faults in others. We're constantly speaking about the evil in the world. We're constantly checking the news and seeing all the bad things that have happened. We're constantly looking at he's bad and he's this and he's that. And we're constantly reading other people. The question is this. You weren't on this planet. You weren't created to read other people, to exercise your psychology, the art of science, and say, I can read him, he's like this, and I can read her, she's like that. You weren't here for that. The Quran told us not to do that. But the one person you were supposed to read and amend and rectify was this one here. Who's going to do that? It's others' faults that we search for, and that leads us to depression. Gosh, we wish that we didn't look at faults in others, but we looked at faults within ourselves and rectified those. And as you start to do those, if you start to turn that focus onto yourself, you will see that like Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatuhu Al-Aliyah has given us this brilliant slogan, I must strive to rectify myself and the people of the whole world. Instead of pointing the finger at others, if you'd noticed that three fingers were pointing back at you and you rectified this one here, your depression and anxieties would start to disappear. You would start to build your character. You would start to build your soul. You would stay away from backbiting, from lying. You would stay away from cheating and fraud. You would think that my life is very short. I need to please my Creator. I'm here for a reason. I have to develop myself as a person. I'm not responsible for others. They're not going to go into my grave. I'm not going to go into their grave. This is all about learning in this world. And I have the best of teachers. I need to instill in myself kindness, generosity, and focus and trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. He would learn that. And all with a smiling face, all with a happy, you know, mindset, in accordance with our abilities, we would truly bear the great fruits of life. We would be able to enjoy them. A proper person isn't one who's frowning all the time, who's depressed all the time, who's upset all the time. No. A real ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like the sun. He's radiating light and hope for himself and those around him. The hearts are filled with tenderness, virtue, benevolence, and a genuine love for the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. These people, everywhere they go, they spread goodness and happiness. They're connected to people. People love them. They're always smiling at difficulties. They always love to get over the difficulties that are presented before them. And when they see a problem, they don't run from it. It gives them an opportunity to solve these difficulties. And not only do they solve their own difficulties, these people become so confident and so good at what they do that they then go out and they help others as well. Life is success for these people. But success isn't in their money. Success is in being happy every day. They have got their namaz, the Quran, their Durood-e Pak, their wazaif on a daily basis. And those lift them spiritually. Then they are strong. When a calamity falls them, they don't see a lion grinning at them on every path. They see an opportunity awaits them. They don't see that the treasure is buried deep and they have to dig a hole. They see the treasure and see this as hard work to get to those great bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal. Some people see difficulties as the end of everything. But the successful people don't live in a life of depression. Don't live in the doldrums of darkness. No. Every difficulty that comes, they see an opportunity. They want to struggle to achieve. These people are remarkable. But they're that remarkable that in a true Islamic society, they are everywhere. And they increase their worthiness individually and as a society when everybody starts to achieve this. Alhamdulillah, you get the golden eras of Islam. They don't run away from things. They use every opportunity they can to help others. They shine in every direction. And with their beauty, darkness of depression goes away. They don't feel inferior. They don't get jealous. They don't hate. They live in self-confidence and thank Allah Azza wa Jal for the skills they have. They don't deceive people. They don't have false pride. They have belief. They are organized. Their houses aren't a mess. Their offices aren't a mess. Their life is not a mess. They smile at everybody they see. They have a friendly face. They have easy manners. They have gentle, generous souls. Today, we have this superiority or inferiority complex. No. That's not what Islam teaches us. Let's pause and reflect. When you experienced sadness yesterday, when you were depressed and upset and thinking negatively, did your situation get any better? No. It was a vicious circle that sent you deeper and deeper into an abyss. If your son failed his school exams, you became depressed. Did that mean that he got better results? No, it didn't. What you should have done, made a timetable for him to study better, got a tutor, make changes, help him yourself, make a timetable, try and talk to him. By getting depressed, it isn't going to help. When your father passed away, you became downhearted. Did that bring him back? No, it didn't. That was the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. What were you supposed to do? You were supposed to protect your salah, pray for him, send him a salih swab so he would be proud of you in his grave. Now, the clever person would have done that. But the ignorant person misses his salah and spends his time being upset and depressed because a family member has passed away. This is the difference between negative and satanic thinking and positive and Islamic thinking. This is what you've got to do. You've got to respond in the way that Islam teaches us. When you become despondent due to a calamity by doing nothing, by sitting there and just twiddling your thumbs and getting upset and getting depressed, the more depressed you get, the more mistakes you make. The more mistakes you make, the more depressed you get. And the more you start to walk down the path of the shaitan, he's laughing all the way. But on the opposite side, if you put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, all this gloom and doom disappears. Lay the prayer mat out. Pray in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Raise your hands. Don't help the shaitan, but cling onto the rope of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ask him for help. Whatever you need, the creator of the heavens and the earth says, ask from me, I will give you. Why are we turning to despondency? Why are we turning to depression? When the creator of the heavens and the earth, who deals with the sustenance of billions and billions at the same time, and his treasures are such that if everybody on the earth were given all the demands they have, it wouldn't make one iota worth of difference to the treasures of Allah Azza wa Jal. Such an amazing creator who cares for us so much. And yet you are depressed and darkness? Why? Ask yourself why. We have the most magnificent creator, and we have his most magnificent and beloved prophet, Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as our leader. We are the most fortunate in the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. What is there to be depressed about? Large mansions, bank balances, and all these things will not protect you. High position, beautiful wife, abundant wealth, brilliant children, those are not the cure to your depression. The cure to your sadness lies in love of Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The cure to your depression lies in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The cure to your depression lies in the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, in sending durud as salam upon his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal has spread out this earth, made it beautiful for you to look at and smile. Allah Azza wa Jal has given you two eyes, two ears, lips, two hands, two legs, tongue, heart, safety, brilliant, healthy body, intellect, everything you could think of. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? Because when you go into this depression, that's what you do. For a Muslim, depression has no place in his life. For a Muslim, despondency has no place in his life. Hopelessness is not for the ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, in the Madani environment of Dawat Islami, what we are taught is that these are not the traits of a true Muslim. What the true Muslim, the true ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does is spend his days and nights in the love of the beloved, in following in his commands, in orders, and following in his ways, and beautifying his life with the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The true believer doesn't get lost in palaces and mansions and fast cars. He just dreams of Medina, Medina, Medina. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from this pain of depression. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the ability to change our lives by being nice to ourselves, by smiling, by being happy, and changing our mindset and training ourselves in this art of happiness, and not only making our life better, but making the life of those around us better as well. Whether it's our parents, you meet them with a smiling face, you speak to your children in nice words, you'll make them happy. You speak to your wife in nice words, you'll make her happy. You speak to your husband in nice words, you'll make him happy. The words are important, your mindset is important. You can truly transform your life. You can get out of this misery of depression. You can end all these conflicts and battles in our homes just by following the beautiful sunnah, just by smiling and being happy and being content with what Allah Azza wa Jal has given us. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala. Sallallahu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not lose.